Well, tonight, I'm going to talk slow because I need to be able to breathe. But tonight, I want to finish a word that I gave you the last time that I spoke on Sunday morning. I talked to you in this word out of the book of Ruth. So if you have your Bibles, if you could turn to the book of Ruth, we're going to go back there and take a look and finish up what I believe the Lord had shown me. I've called this word picking up sheaves. I believe the Lord began to show me some things at the end of last year about what he was planning to do with Capstone as a church body. I had been seeking him, about where we are. I was feeling pretty good about where we were. We had unanswered questions, just like every church does. We had things that we were seeking God about and trying to get answers to, just like everybody does, every church does. But I really felt like the Lord began to show me some things and talk to me about some changes and some things that were coming. It was actually, just to be real honest with you, it was real hard for me to believe some of them because I myself had been in a Naomi experience. And I felt like the church had been in somewhat of a Naomi experience. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute when we begin to talk about Naomi. But what I'm saying is I felt like we had been in a little bit of a dry period. I felt like that we had been in a period in which God had been pruning us and cutting us back and doing some things. And that period had been quite a long period of time. It had been an extended period. And it wasn't necessarily unexpected. It's never really wanted. I mean, if you want to be honest out of your flesh, I don't think that anybody really jumps to the front of the line to be pruned. I think that we all have so much of the world's definition of success operating within us that when the Lord says, now I'm going to put you through a period of decrease, that immediately what we flip into is, you know, hey, what are we doing wrong? What's going on that we're not doing right? I mean, then you immediately go into seeking God and trying to figure out what has happened. But that doesn't mean anything has happened that's necessarily wrong. It could be an indication that something's wrong. But we know from Scripture and we know from the teachings of Jesus that those who the Lord loves and those that are abiding in the vine, which those that are drawing life from the vine, who is the Lord Jesus himself. He talked about, I am the vine and you're the branches. And he said, my Father's the vine dresser. And he said, abide in me. And then he said, if you're a branch that doesn't bear any fruit, my Father will cut you completely out of the vine. He said, but if you're a branch that bears fruit, you get cut too. So both groups get cut. But thank God, one just gets cut, the dead pieces get cut off, while the other one gets cut off completely from the vine at the part that's attached. And so as I began to seek the Lord, and I said, Lord, what's wrong with us? He said, nothing's wrong, son. He said, I'm leading you personally through this walk to learn to trust in me. And I am working out of you the worldly definitions of success. And that's what God was doing. And I had learned those through faithful mentors down through my life. But I had grown up in a church when things were cooking, they were cooking. I mean, people were pouring in seeds, people were standing in line to get in church, and people were knocking each other over to get in church. That's what I was saved in. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that a week from Sunday. And we're going to dive into some other things in relation to that. I thought that was normal. I thought that was normal church life. But there was a lot of things in our church at that time that were wrong. And although there were many powerful things going on, there were some root things, some things that were essential for the continuance of that vine, that vine there, the part of the body of Christ that I was a part of, that Pastor Bob was there and Pastor Roy was there too. There were some essential things that were essential to spiritual life that were fundamentally wrong there. And because of that, they ultimately ended up poisoning the vine and the vine began to wither. And so the Lord began to talk to me and he said, Parkey, I don't want you guys to replicate in this house what happened in that house. And I said, well, Father, I don't either. But I didn't realize, and most of us don't realize, how deeply some things run. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, just because we know them in our head doesn't mean that they've completely been dealt with in our hearts. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, many of us can give a mental assent to some things in the Scripture. We can agree with what God's definition of success is mentally. But when God begins to walk us through that, and it is so contrary to what we have been taught success is in the world, and even because, brothers and sisters, the world's definition of success has invaded the body of Christ and is really, for many years, has been determining what success is in the body as well as in the world. And so when you're surrounded and inundated with that, God has to work all that stuff out of you. And I believe that over time, God has been working in this church body to purge that poison out of our lives. It's essential to what's coming. It's essential to God's glory, more importantly. It's essential to God's glory. The Bible says in Psalm 115, he said, I will not share my glory with anyone else. And so we thank God, have been going through a period in which God is breaking that out of our lives. And it's been much more a part of our DNA as people than we realized. But we are coming to a different season. And part of the reason we're coming to a different season is that's just what God's doing in the world. But another reason is because there have been a lot of positive movements in that area within this body. And God is bringing us to a place, I think, where seasons are changing. But he's not changing his methods. He's still working within us in those areas of purity and holiness. And so when we were talking about this about a week ago, I told you that, well, let me tell you how I got this word. I may have shared this with you. I was preaching here on a Wednesday night. And when I was preaching on a Wednesday night here about one thing to you guys one night, the Lord dropped this on me while I was preaching about something else. So I went back and I began to study and I began to read the book of Ruth. And the Lord began to show me that what he's doing in this church body is very similar in some ways to what was happening during the time of Ruth and what happened in the life of this little family, Elimelech's family, that lived in Bethlehem, Judah. So you may remember when we first started talking about this that the days of Ruth were days that were not really great days in the life of Israel. The story of Ruth took place during the time of the judges. The time of the judges was the period directly after the time of the death of Joshua. The days of Joshua had been days of great victory and fulfillment and power for the people of Israel. It was a day of fulfillment of God's promises, that things that he had been promising them for years, they had entered into their promised land. They had gotten in there. Now, were they perfect? No, there had been disobedience along the way. There had been compromise along the way. There were enemies that were still left in their land that were there to test them. But overall, it had been a great time of victory. But the men of Joshua's days and the elders of those days had passed away. And the people of Israel began to drift. And the enemies that were left in the land with them began they were practicing things that began to steal the hearts of the Israelites away. The love of Jehovah overall in the nation was beginning to dim. At the same time, during that period of time, and in the days of Ruth, a famine came, and the provision in the land began to get scarce. And in this period, because of the lack of provision, there was a little family that lived in Bethlehem, Judah. The head of the family, his name was Elimelech. Elimelech had a wife named Naomi. They had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And because things were so bad, they sold the allotment of land that they owned, and they moved to Moab to try to go to a place where they could have provision, where they might could be able to provide for their family. While they were there, the two young sons took wives from daughters of the Moabites. One of the young men took a woman whose name was Orpah, not Oprah, but Orpah. And another one of the sons took a young woman whose name was Ruth to be their wife. But you know, although times were tough enough, having to leave their home, having to sell their homeland to other people, having to give up so many things, tragedy seemed to follow them. When they got into Moab, it wasn't long until Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. The man who was identified as the main provider for the family passed away. And then not too long after that, tragedy struck again, and her two sons, Naomi's two sons, died. And so here they were. Naomi left, living in the land of the Moabites, not owning anything. I'm sure they were just existing on some type of land that they were sharecropping on or paying to lease or whatever, because they had sold their land back home, because later on in the story you can see it had to be bought back. And here they are. They're left with no means of provision, really. There's nobody in their life, really, to provide for the three women other than what they can provide with their own hands. And in those days, things were a little bit different than they are now. And so it was a little bit tougher for the three women that were left alone. Well, these were exceedingly tough times. But it wasn't long after that Naomi began to hear a word. And the word was that God had visited his people. Everybody say, God had visited his people. God had visited his people back in Israel. And when she heard this, she decided to step out and make a move on God's word. And she talked to her daughters-in-law, and she said, look, I'm hearing that God is moving. I'm hearing that the season is changing. She said, I'm going to respond to that word, and I'm going to go back to the place where God is moving. I'm going to go and respond to the word. And she said, I don't expect you to go with me. She said, but why don't you? You're released from any commitments that you have. Go back home to your families. Things have been tough. Well, of course, they had been together for a long time, and there was a lot of emotion. And there were a lot of promises made, and there were a lot of commitments talked about, and they cried and said, no, we'll stay with you. But when the time came to really put feet to the movement and to continue on, it came time for Orpah and Ruth to have to make a decision as to what they were really going to do. And I think that Orpah probably looked around at the possibilities of what could be, at what had happened up to that point, of the tragedy that had come upon them, about the cutting back that had happened. She looked at that and probably at some point decided, hey, I've had enough of this. You know, I think I'm going to choose to go a different pathway. It's not because I don't love you, but this is just not working out the way that I thought it was going to work out. And there's been a lot of you in your lives that have had people that have left your lives in the last couple of years. For that very same reason, for reasons very much like that. They've looked at you, they said, I still love you, doesn't have anything to do with you. They kissed you, they cried, they said, but God's just doing something different with me. Or I've just had enough of that track, and I'm going. And we've all, as a church body, we've seen a lot of that, we've been through a lot of that. And so when Naomi looked at Ruth, she said, your sister-in-law has gone back. What are you going to do? And Ruth said those words that most of us know. She said, I'm not going to leave you, no matter what. She said, I'm going to stay with you all the way. She said, God's put us together. I've made a commitment, and I'm going to walk this out. This is not about me. This is about God having put us together. So Naomi and Ruth, they pack everything up. They go in response to the word. And they get back into Bethlehem and arrive back there right at the time of the barley harvest. And you guys heard on Sunday, and I watched online almost all of it, my wife's word on the barley harvest. How many of you thought that was interesting on Sunday? You think that was interesting? It really was. It really helped me out a lot to hear that word. And she talked to me about it a lot. And then I got a lot more out of the sharing of it. So tonight, we're going to read and continue on in this and get the rest of this word from the Lord, but we're going to read Ruth chapter 2 to get a backdrop. of what's coming. Okay? So Ruth chapter 2, it's Wednesday night. We're not in a big hurry. Okay? So if you got it, Ruth 2, let's read. Now there was a relative of Naomi's husband. He was a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi. Now Ruth didn't know anything about Boaz. Okay, she didn't know anything. These two women have gotten back to Bethlehem and they're going to starve if somebody doesn't do something. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. She said, go ahead and go. And then she left, and she went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. Now, it doesn't say that Ruth was reaping. It says that Ruth was what? Gleaning. There's a big difference. Reapers worked for the owner of the field. They were responsible for bringing in the harvest. A gleaner was a scrounger. I don't know how any other way to say that. A gleaner was a scrounger. A gleaner was someone who was just going and picking up the leftovers. And what she was doing is she was going around and just scrounging around. And that's not a derogatory term because they were trying to survive. But she was going to see if she could find a field in which she could pick up anything that was left behind that the reapers had left behind in the harvest. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. And she happened to come. And I love that. She just happened. It just happened by accident. But she just happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. And then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, he said, whose young woman is this? He saw her out there, didn't recognize her. And he said, whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, the servant in charge of the reaper said, this is what she has said to me. She said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little bit in the house or the shelter. And so Boaz walks over to Ruth and he said, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? He said, listen, I got something I need to tell you. She probably thought, uh-oh. He's going to kick me out of the field. But she said, listen, my daughter, don't go glean in another field. Don't leave here. Stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field in which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So she fell on her face and bowed down to the ground and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. It's been fully reported to me. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. And then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I'm not even like one of your own maidservants. And Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers and he passed parched grain to her and she ate and was satisfied and she kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her. And let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her, Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she was bringing. And so she brought it out and gave it to her, and she gave her what she had kept back from lunch. So she, what part of the lunch she had kept back, she shared with Naomi and then showed Naomi what she had, how much she was had gleaned. And her mother-in-law said, "Good Lord, woman." And that's what my grandmother would have said. She said, "Where have you gleaned today? And with whom did you work? You're bringing home so much. Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "Hey, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And then Naomi said to her, "Oh, sister." That's what my grandmother would have said to my great-grandmother said to my mother, "Oh, sister." Mother and daughter, and they still call one another sister sometimes. "Oh, sister. Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said, "This man is of a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." And Ruth the Moabite said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men until they've finished all my harvest.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It's good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that people do not meet you in any other field." So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest. And she dwelt there with her mother-in-law. You know, last time I talked to you guys about this, I shared with you the first couple of things that I felt like the Lord had told me out of this story. One was that Naomi had heard a word that had said that the season had changed for the people of God. And one of the things that I felt like the Lord had spoken to me about Capstone Church was, you're entering into a different season. The season has changed. It is not the same season that it was. You're going to have to believe my word, and you're going to have to act like you believe my word. You're going to have to begin to act. There are some people that are going to hear things in relation to that word that they're going to know that I'm telling them to do, steps I'm telling them to take. But the word for the Lord from the church was, the season's changed. I actually had a hard time receiving that, if you want to be honest, because I was a little bit like Naomi. I had been through so much cutting back and change and things happening that I was at the place where I thought, hey, how could this be? I mean, you know, I've just been in this one season so long. And Lord, I also told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I will not get up there and tell those people something that's coming from something I want and not coming from you." So I prayed about it. And then the Lord began to show me evidence of it. And I began to see him saying, "Hold out your garment," like Boaz did to Ruth, and I began to see him put things into my garment that weren't there before. And the Lord said, "The season has changed, Parkey." And so I believe that as a church, we are entering into a season, a different season. And I'm thankful for that. Seasons come and seasons go. And every season in your life is a good season. Some of them we seem to have more fun in than others. But that doesn't mean that each one doesn't have its value and its importance. And so I believe we're coming into a season in which we're going to see the fulfillment of some things that God has long promised us as a people. The other thing that I felt like the Lord showed me out of this story was, he said, the season is going to change, and the full recipients of what's going to happen in this season are going to be cleavers and not kissers. And I said, "Lord, I know about kissers and cleavers. I've heard that taught before." And the Lord said, "Well, I have been leading this people purposely on a jaunt and on a journey in which I have been ferreting out and choosing out and tempering my people." He said, "I love all of them." He said, that's not the case. He said, "But I am not going to give my harvest to people who are not fully in. They're not fully committed." He said, the ones that are going to receive my benefit are the ones whose hearts are going to be, not, they're not perfect people, but they're going to be people who are in love with me, are willing to do anything that I ask them to do. They're willing to cleave. They're willing to stay in. Their eye is not on what they can get, but their eye is on obedience to God and on a commitment to Him and commitment to each other. And you know what? I believe that we have a household worth of cleavers. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see what God's going to do in everybody's life. And I've been watching some of you guys go through times in which you have been whittled back and God's been doing things in your life and you've been walking through great dry seasons. Many of you. And I know that through your faithfulness to the Lord and through you allowing Him to prune you during these times, that God has been keeping a report on you. Boaz told Ruth, he said, I've been hearing the full report. He said, I've got the full report on you and what's been happening. God's been watching what's going on, and you know what? Your labor of love has not been in vain. God is going to work mightily in your life, and I'm not saying you're going to be rich. I hope a bunch of you are, but that's not what I'm talking about. You're going to be rich in the things of God. And there's going to be other parts of that too. But hang in there and keep loving the Lord and keep moving, because some of you, the on switch is already on and you're about to hit the chute and you're going to get shot out. And when you do, things are going to start moving so quickly that it could make your head spin if you didn't know it was God doing it. All right. The third point of this that I want to bring out tonight that the Lord shared with me, I did not have a chance to talk about last time, and that's this. The harvest is going to be found in the midst of the reapers. The harvest is going to be found in the midst of the reapers. You know, God is sending out His reapers into the world right now. There are reapers that are going out that are reaping up godly seed that has been sown, and they're bringing in people into the kingdom of God. There's people that are reaping harvest for good seed that they've sown for a long time, and that's some of the things that are going to happen this year. But also there are reapers going out because there is a lot of bad seed that's been sown. Seed that's been sown in rebellion, seed that's been sown in dishonesty. And this is going to be another year. I'm not saying this is going to be a year where there's going to be all good things happening. It's not. Nationally, I think this is going to be another year of where we're going to see some bad things reaped. I wish I could say differently, but I just don't think it's going to be so. But God has, I believe what He has told me is He has instructed His reapers to purposely let harvest fall. For His people have been faithful to Him. You know, it was a law in Israel in those days that when you went out to reap the harvest, when you went out to bring in the harvest in your field, it was a law. It's in Leviticus 23 and I think about verse 25. It was a law. It said, do not reap all the way to the edges of your field. It said, but leave some for those that are poor and some, the foreigners, those that in Israel did not own property there, those that had to work for other people. They said, leave some there for them. And so Boaz, being what appears to be a man of God, I'm sure that they had done that. But Boaz gave instructors to his reapers to even do more than that. He said, I want you to purposefully allow harvest to fall for her so that she can glean it. And I believe that in the midst of all of the things that are going to happen this year, and a lot of good things and a lot of bad things, I believe that God is instructing His reapers to purposefully drop harvest for His church. Now you as a gleaner, keep your eyes open. And when you see tragedy, don't run away from it. Run toward it, because God's going to instruct His reapers to leave harvest all around that thing for you. If you're going to be the kind of person that has enough faith in God not to be afraid, not to say, hey, you know, I'm going to distance myself away from this thing because I'm afraid the tragedy is so strong that it's going to hit me as well. And you back away from that type of thing and distance yourself and just watch the tragedy happen and not try to be God's hands extended there, you're going to miss a lot of what God's going to do. Did you guys see the commercial where it talked about the Marines and you see people running away from the tragedy and then it says, you see the Marines are running toward it. And the guy turns around and he goes, let's go this way. And it talks about it in the commercial, who are the ones that are running in when everybody else is running out. And I believe that if we have enough faith in God and enough faith in His work to say, these things are terrible things, but there's going to be gleanings that are going to fall from this thing, and we're going to be here to be God's hand extended to harvest it, to reap it. Then we're going to get to see great things come into the kingdom of God through that process this year. I have been so blessed, just as a side note, I have been so blessed to see so many young people really getting on fire for the Lord and really diving in and seeking the Lord in the early seasons of this year. I'm so glad of what God's doing in that way. I know Steve's got up to his elbows in that and working in that with people along with some other folks. And I'm telling you, those are just the beginning things that are going to happen. What you're seeing are just first fruits. First fruits always appeared in Israel before the others. They were always waved first. But it's an indicator of what's coming as well. There's more coming. And so, although there's going to be some tough things happening, you're going to continue to read about things that are going to bring fear into a lot of people's eyes. Realize these things have within them opportunities for saved destinies and saved lives. Okay? So we are going to be a church that's running toward the fray this year instead of away from it. So if you're looking for a church that's it's only a sanctuary in the sense that, man, we're going to get in here and we're going to protect one another and we're going to bat down our hatches and we're just going to be here, you know, singing and holding hands and waiting until the Lord comes and saying, I told you so to the world, you're in the wrong place. Because that's not what God's calling us to do. We're going to be down at Union Gospel. We're going to be picking up kids that other people have dropped, that tragedies dropped. We're going to be down in Las Vegas Trail feeding and reaching down and picking up people that tragedies happened in their lives, but they're ready to be harvested. But somebody's got to be there. And somebody's also going to have to be listening to the Holy Spirit. We need prayers. We need people that are tuned in to the Spirit this year more than ever, that are listening to the Holy Spirit, because He's going to say, move here, move there, do this, do that, take a step this way, take a step that way. And those that have their ears tuned to the Spirit are going to see harvest begin to fall into their lap. You understand what I'm saying? So keep your ears open. You go to the doctor, keep your ears open. You go to the grocery store, keep your ears open. And don't be afraid. Everybody say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If the Lord said, if you're standing next to a guy with 49 piercings on his head, okay, and the Lord says, talk to him, don't be afraid. Okay? Don't be afraid. Walk up to him and say, hey. Hey, Jack. Looky here. Just walk up to him and say, hey, you know, the Lord just impressed me to come talk to you. Because you're going to find some harvest in that way. It's coming. The Lord is purposefully dropping it. Everybody say purposefully. 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 For you and for this house. Praise the Lord. I am so thankful for it. The fourth thing I felt like the Lord said to me out of this is a season of fullness and consummation. When Naomi began to recognize how God was orchestrating the events, she told Ruth, she said, hey, there's a lot of things happening here on a lot of levels. She said, this is not just a season to fill our bellies. This is a season of fulfillment of God's promise. She said, this is a season of restoration. Everybody say restoration. The things that we have lost, God has provided an opportunity for us to have back again through his grace and his mercy. She said, that man is a near kinsman to us. Boaz was a man who had the legal ability because he was a near relative and had the means because he was a man of great substance to be able to restore to Naomi everything she had lost. So Naomi saw it as a time of restoration and not just a time of comfort. And she told Ruth, she said, tonight when the reapers have laid themselves down at the threshing floor after they've rejoiced over the harvest and celebrated, she said, I want you to find Boaz and I want you to go and I want you to lift up his garment at his feet and lay down there underneath him and he will tell you what to do. And when she did that and Boaz awoke and saw her and knew it was Ruth, he basically said this to her. He said, you've not run after riches and you've not run after lust. Therefore, do not fear. I'm going to do for you all that a redeemer does, and you're not going to leave this place empty. And then when Ruth got back to Naomi, Naomi said, just sit back and watch. This man will fulfill his purpose. And I feel like that the Lord is saying that for all of those who have just been willing to come under the wings of the Lord and have not looked to anything else, even if things have been peeled away during this time, that this is a time of fulfillment and restoration. This is a time that God is going to bring some things back. Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. In Israel, there was a law that if someone in a family had become poor or something had happened that they had to get rid of a piece of the land or something that belonged to the family, that a near relative in the family, the nearest relative, had the right to redeem that, to purchase that land back, and to get it back into the family. Also, there was a rule that if the husband of that family had died, then that kinsman redeemer could marry that woman and raise up children so that the man's inheritance didn't die out, but it continued on. And Boaz had this right. There was a couple of men in their family, one closer to them than Boaz, that had the right, the first right of refusal. And Boaz was also one of these kinsman redeemers. And I believe that the Lord, for all of you that have just given yourself to him, you've clothed yourself with his garments, that he is spreading him over his people, and he's not going to rest until matters concerning his plan for them are completed, and that God's not going to send you away empty. You know, remember what Naomi said when she got back to town. She said, I went out full and I came back empty. Well, maybe you went out full and it looks like you came back empty, but anything that God has emptied out in you, he has been making room to pour in an abundance of himself. So we are in a time of restoration. God is going to restore some things during this period of time. He's going to fulfill some promises during this period of time. And so I'm excited to see what that's going to be and how that's going to happen. And I'm already seeing some of it come to pass. And finally, this is a season of joy. Naomi, and once Ruth and Boaz married, after all that had been taken care of and all the business had been transacted and Boaz had redeemed the land for Elimelech's family and for Naomi and had taken on the responsibility to marry Ruth and to raise up children for that family so that they would not die out, their name wouldn't die out, then Ruth had a son. And Naomi held that son on her lap. And that child, they named him Obed. And Obed means worshiper. And if you don't know much about Obed, if you read there, you'll realize that that was King David's grandfather. He was a part of the messianic line of Jesus. And the women of Bethlehem said this to Naomi about the child. They said, "May he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, and may his name be famous in Israel." And Naomi, who just a little while before had been hurting and confused and calling her life bitter, now held in her hands a young man from the line of Jesus Christ. And she was full of joy. And this is a season of joy. This is not a season of tears. There's going to be things that will happen this year that will strike our hearts, and we will weep with those that will weep. But I believe that as we're worshiping this year and as we're coming before God, I'm already seeing it happen among you guys, that as we come before the Lord this year and we get before Him, that you are sensing in your spirit that there's joy coming from the word and the message from around the throne of God is joy. And I can see you guys receiving that, and I can see you opening your hearts to it, and I can see you responding to it. And I'm thankful for that. And you know, we are in a season of joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I'm just going to end with the words from Psalm 126. And I want you guys to go home. I want you to study the book of Ruth some more. And I want you to look in Psalm 126, and I want you to read this, and I want you to let the Lord speak to you out of this, and let Him talk to you. But it says in Psalm 126, "When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion." So Zion had been captive. Zion had been paying for her sins. Zion had been in a time of defeat. Zion had been in a low period. Zion had been in a time of low esteem for people around them. Zion had been going through a period of cutting back. Zion had been going through a pruning time. But when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. I love that. This is a time of dreams coming true. I really believe that. And then it says, you know what our response was? Our mouths were filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. And then they said among the nations, the Lord's done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And you know, the south was the most arid part of Israel. And they said, bring back those streams. As you do the streams in the south during the periods when the rains begin to fall. And then it says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless, everybody say doubtless. That means without a doubt. Come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. For those that are attentive, for those that are cleaving, for those that are depending upon God, for those who have no other identity than to be covered with his garment this year, they're not concerned about what other people say, they're past all that, they've grown beyond all that, all they want to be seen with is covered by the Lord's garment. For all of those who have been willing to walk through fire and rain to be like Jesus, for all those who have said, I'm not hating God, I'm not hating myself, and I'm not hating other people over the hard times I've had to walk through, praise God, all things are working together for good. To them that love the Lord, he is my treasure, he's my all in all, he is everything to me. Then the season has changed. The season has changed. And God's going to be doing a lot of things this year in this world, Pastor Bob. And you know it. We can see it. It ain't over, in Texas language. It ain't over. There's going to be a lot of good reaping and a lot of bad reaping. It's going to happen this year. But God's people are going to be, that have no fear, Steve, that trust in him, that believe he's for them and loves them. They don't believe they're the answer and the end all be all, but they're just out there for the glory of God. And they're out there saying, I will go around that tragedy, all around it, looking for his harvest, because I believe that people are falling. I believe he's dropping harvest all over the place for us. People are willing to do that. They're going to come back carrying bushels full of harvest. I look at Russ and Cass and I-61 and the ministry that started there, and I saw that as a first fruit. And I saw that as the heart of what God was saying during this time. And they're right out there in the midst of all the tragedy and hear all the stories and everything. But boy, they're there just scurrying around looking. I know God is purposely leaving harvest here, and we're going to be here to pick it up because it's important to Him. It's important to Him. And they're coming back rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. They bring their sheaves with them to church every Sunday. And if we could get just a little more on fire than what we are, we could bring some sheaves with us. I'm serious. Because it's out there. You just got to keep your eyes open and be willing to pick it up. Because God's telling His reapers, make a way for them as they move around and pick up the harvest. Make a way. And you know what? They may be scurrying around through the midst of a lot of a mess, but those angels are guarding the way. They're letting them go through, and they're letting them pick up all that stuff that's been left. And this is going to be a great year, and there's going to be battles, we're going to be weeping, and there's days coming where we're going to be talking about great tragedies that have happened. I hate to say it, but I know it's true. It doesn't have anything to do with one person, what one person's doing and what one person's not doing. It has to do with a nation who's turned its back on the Lord. And it's time that somebody grew enough courage to start saying to this nation, without us preaching to them and putting them down and condemning them, saying, we have got to get back to God. We have got to. We have got to get back to God. And so the lights are going to shine brighter throughout this year. They're going to stand up but they're also going to stand out a little more. And that means they're going to be a little more targets for the enemy too. But God is protecting His people. And I don't care what other people say. I am really jealous over Jesus' harvest that's in that field. I'm jealous over it. And I don't want to let what anybody says about me stop him from getting what he paid so dearly for. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your kindness and your goodness. Lord, we're not the center of the universe. I don't want to be. You are the center. You are the center. Lord, I'm just a man who was going to hell, who's so grateful that you died for him. Lord, I'm so grateful that you paid for the wrath took the wrath on yourself that was due me for my rebellion and my sin. Lord, I had a death sentence hanging over me. I was condemned justly to death, and the Son of God died for my sins. And Father, I owe you everything for what you've done for me and who you are. Lord, I gladly give my life to you this year, in the year 2013. Lord, it's my joy. I love this country. I love this state. But Lord, I know I'm also a realist. And I know as long as she is in rebellion against you, that she will reap at times what she sows, even though you're merciful in many situations and circumstances. And Lord, my heart breaks for that. And God, I pray for a revival in this land.
Thank you, Lord.
I just pray for a revival. Lord, our leaders can't do anything we don't give them permission to do. Lord, it's time for us to rise up and put you back in your place of rightful authority in our lives. We pray for that. But Father, we also go out with great joy and expectation this year, believing that you have said, keep your eyes open, because I'm going to purposely drop harvest all over for you in the midst of the work of the reaping this year. Father, I want to give you praise that just like Ruth, I was a foreigner to your covenants of promise, but you have brought me in underneath your garment, You have made me a part of your family. You have redeemed my life. You have restored to me the things that the enemy tried to take from me. And you are in the midst, Lord Jesus, of fulfilling every word that you have spoken over my life. Every word that came from you, you're in the midst of performing. Father, I thank you that this year, when this year is over, we're going to look back and we're going to have full folds of our garment because we're going to be so excited for what God has done. Because we, Lord, care deeply about the people that are out there. We care, Lord, and if we don't, we repent. Lord, break our hearts for the people that are dying around us. God, we say, here we are, send us. Send us, Lord Jesus. Give us compassion. Father God, help us to reach out when others are drawing away. And Father, we just give you praise, yes, yes. Honor and glory and thanks. Hallelujah. And may only one name be glorified this year, only one. That's be the name of Jesus. Yes, yes. But Lord, I also say this, just as King David sat before you in the tent of meeting, after you had spoken to him about his house and promised him things, he sat in the tent of meeting. He said, who am I that these things would be spoken? But then he knew God's glory demanded the fulfillment. So he said, let it be unto us as you have said for your glory. In Jesus' name, yes, yes. Amen.